Well, good morning again. And if you have a Bible, please open it to Colossians chapter 1, page 981 in the little black pew Bibles that are hopefully in front of you. Pastor Dave has been ill and came to be Thursday, and he wasn't even getting out of bed anymore, and I sent a Facebook message to Bobby saying, ask him if he wants me to fill in so I know a little ahead of time. So this is sweet sour for me. I certainly don't want Pastor Dave to be ill, but neither does Gus. But at the same time, it is my joy to be able to bring you God's word. It truly is special for me to be able to do this. So Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 24, we read God's word. This is Paul speaking or writing. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known. The mystery hidden for the ages and generations now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all of his energy that he powerfully works within me. Let's pray together. And Father, so now we come to this time of worship where we open your word, and we pray now, Father, that you would speak to us through your word. I pray, Father, that you would fill me with your spirit and anoint me to proclaim the message that you have for your people through your word. And I pray, Father, that your spirit then works in the hearts of every one of your people, Lord, and that we learn this truth and it becomes part of us, the reality of Christ in us and the hope of glory. So I pray, Father, that you accomplish much through the proclamation of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Middle of verse 25. To make the word of God fully known. The mystery hidden for the ages and generations, but now revealed to us, his saints. To us, God has chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So my question for you today is, what is your perspective on life? That is, what is the lens that you look at life through, what you see through? What is the lens that you are using in every circumstance in life you go through? What is the lens you look through? For believers, we are to have an eternal perspective on everything. So two things. First, for me, for I or we are being conformed to the image of Christ. That is our perspective, and we will be like him and with him forever. That is our eternal perspective lens we look through. It is this truth, this hope of reality that draws on us and pulls us in our walk. We will be like Christ and with him forever. No matter what we are going through, no matter our circumstance at any given moment, we are to gain the strength to endure by believing by grace through faith that this is not our final body and this is not our final home. 1 John tells us it is this hope that purifies us. It is this truth that purifies us. This eternal promise and reality is our perspective. Eternity like Christ and with Christ is our lens in which we see everything. So for us, as we view ourselves and our circumstances, this is how we view it. Second, as we view other people, as we view others, we view them as eternal beings. And they will either spend eternity with us in heaven or hopelessly with themselves in hell, without God. This eternal perspective for their souls should be breaking our hearts. This eternal perspective for their souls drives us to share the hope and the love that we have in Christ. It motivates us to share the mystery hidden for the ages with them, that being the gospel of Christ. And we bring these two together. If we are truly born-again believers in Christ, for us, we will be with Christ forever, and nothing can stop that. And that's what we're going to look at today. We will be like Christ and with Christ forever, and nothing can stop that for them. When God brings other in our paths, we know their souls are at stake. That needs to be our perspective. So, for us and them together, then, this is the eternal perspective. When the car in front of you cuts you off, we are to think about our hope and their souls. When our coworker stabs us in the back, we are to think about our hope and their souls. When we break our bones or contract a virus or feel just blah, we are to think about our hope and think about the souls of those who are caring for us. What I want to focus on today is what I said just a minute ago. I said, for us, believers in Christ, we will be with Christ forever, and nothing can stop that. Do you believe that? And some of you will answer out loud, but most of you won't, and you don't have to. But be sure to answer that question in your heart right now. If you have truly repented of your sin, and if your faith is in Christ and Christ alone for the forgiveness of your sins, if you are truly born again and you are truly in Christ, then nothing can stop that from happening. Do you believe that? If you don't, then you're missing out on what Christian hope really is. True hope. And not only that, you're missing out of the joy and the peace that come with it. And we could spend weeks studying hope, but let me give you some simple definition. Hope is us looking to the second coming of Jesus and spending eternity with him. We have hope because God is God. And what God says, God does. Always. This is not a worldly hope so. This is not a, I hope the Packers win today hope. Ours is a predetermined, predestined outcome. Get that. Ours is a predestined and predetermined outcome. And we will see in God's word today that our hope is not only rooted in the will of God, and not only sealed by the Holy Spirit of God, but our hope is also empowered by God. This is the reality of truth we need to live in. God is God. And he tells us in his word that Jesus is coming again. And he tells us in his word we will be like him and we will be with him forever in heaven. If you are a child of God, then this is your hope. This will happen in his power and for his glory. Our confidence needs to be in him. Our faith needs to be in him. And our hope needs to be in him because he is God. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1, page 976. And you really, really need to open the Bible and follow along because you need to see this is God's word. And not mine. Ephesians chapter 1. Title of the message today is Christ in You, the Hope of Glory. Glory is God's plan for us, his people. Much can and is preached on this. We are going to stay focused, well, mostly. The plan of God for his people. In God's predetermined and predestined plan for his people, one, He wills us to glory. That is, he is in control of it, and he does it all. It is God's will for his people to be in glory with him. Two, God seals us with the Holy Spirit. All of this is guaranteed by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Number three, his power is towards us. The God of the universe, his power is our source to accomplish this. So the hope of glory. First, God wills it, God seals it, and God's power is toward us and completes it. Let's start in Ephesians 1, chapter 1, page 976. This is the very word of God. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from our God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pause here. Paul is writing this to the saints at Ephesus that are faithful in Christ Jesus. This message is from God, and it is for the faithful in Christ Jesus. If you do not have Christ in you, then this is not for you. This is for believers, for those that have Christ in them. Now, don't be discouraged if you're not a believer. Be fearful of the consequences of dying in your sin. But God's mercy and his grace calls out to you. Repent and put your faith in Christ and the work he did for you on the cross, and be saved and have Christ in you. And this hope can be yours. Don't wait. Do it now. I implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. For us saints and faithful in Christ, this is for us. This is the word of God. Cherish these words and hide them in your heart. Let's look at what God has to say. We're going to go slow. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Let's hold up here. I have a side thought. We need to stop. Stop thinking that we are lacking anything in Christ. We have everything in Christ. Everything. Is my prayer for Renee, oh, dear God, bless Renee, my precious wife? Or is it, oh, dear God, thank you for giving Jesus to Renee? Open her eyes to see the blessings that she already has in Christ. May your spirit give her strength in her inner being to know and believe and experience all that she has in your love in Christ. We need to stop thinking that we lack anything in Christ. Start knowing and believing that Christ is everything and he belongs to us. If we want to abide in him and experience him more, then we need to renew our minds and realize we are already blessed in Christ. Okay, onward. We're going to focus on 4 and 5 here. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. According to the purpose of his will. These two verses not only summarize the plan of God, but they reveal the will of God for us. According to the purpose of his will. Let's look at these two verses closely. This is the word of God. This is pure, simple truth. Look first at our hope in verse 5. You need to see these are God's words. Verse 5, he what? What's the next word? He predestined us for adoption as sons. And how long have we, saints and faithful in Christ, be destined to be adopted sons of God? Look back at verse 4. Even as he chose us in him, when? Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. We're not done with 4 and 5. Let's put them back together in order, and I want you to see the first point. Do you remember it? In God's predetermined, predestined plan for his people, he wills us to glory. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ according to what? The purpose of his will. According to the purpose of his will. The hope of glory, God wills it. And in verse 6, we will see it's by God's grace and for his glory. And then the following verses will give us more detail of his plan and how it is accomplished. And then we'll see more of God's grace and glory. So we're going to read 6 through 12. Follow along. Watch for the will of God, the grace and glory of God. This is God's plan for us. Ephesians chapter 1, 6 through 12. I'm going to start back in 3, actually. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. He predestined us to be adopted sons and daughters. He gave us Jesus Christ to be in him, holy and blameless before God. And he did it because he loves us. And he lavished his grace upon us. Listen now. It's only by his grace that we are his children. There is nothing we have done. It is all God. It is his plan. It is his will. It is his love, his mercy, his grace. It is his son who died for us. And it is his grace that is lavished upon us. This is why we praise him. I have no idea why God loved me and saved me. There's absolutely nothing I have done to deserve this. But I thank him and I praise him that he did. These are truths that move us to worship and praise our God. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Number one, God wills it. Our eternal perspective is driven by the will of God. And next we'll see, number two, God seals it. Verse 13. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Brothers and sisters, this is why we need to slow down in God's word. Look back at verse 13. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him. The moment you heard and believed the gospel, you were what? Sealed. Sealed. Sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. And in case we don't get it, in case we don't understand, he goes on, verse 14, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Jesus says, truly, truly, I say unto you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The mystery hidden for the ages is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Holy Spirit of God in you. The Spirit of Christ in you, the hope of glory. If our faith is in Christ and Christ alone for salvation, then we are forgiven and we are cleansed of all of our sin, past, present, and future, and the Holy Spirit indwells us. And we are sealed, and our inheritance is guaranteed by God Almighty to the praise of his glory. The hope of glory. God wills it. God seals it. Our eternal perspective is sealed and guaranteed by God. And number three, God's power. God's power towards us. Onward in our passage, verse 15. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks to you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation and the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened. Let's stop here and take a reality check. Paul is praying that the Father of glory gives them a spirit of wisdom and of revelation and a knowledge of him, Christ, and that the eyes of their hearts might be enlightened. And we are going to see what Paul is praying for them to know and understand. But why is he praying this part for them? To have a spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him, to have the eyes of their hearts enlightened. Why does he pray that? Earlier, I told you this message is for believers, and it is. These are truths of the kingdom of God. People of the world cannot see these truths. And I dare say, carnal Christians, those caught up in the world, may have a hard time understanding these truths. That is why Paul is praying for them in this passage. Brothers and sisters, we need to mature. We need to move on from the milk of the word to the meat of the word, and we need to grow in Christ. These truths that are we looking at are God's reality. We need to move out of the darkness of deception and into the kingdom of the Son of God. If we are born again, the Spirit within you then is testifying of these truths. And we need to be renewing our minds and receiving the word of God for what it really is, the word of God, and not the words of men. The word of God, it is at work in you, believers. Paul prays this because he knows the only way we can get the understanding we need to have a proper eternal perspective is by the power of the Holy Spirit to reveal it to us. Because God's thoughts are spiritually discerned. Let's go back to Ephesians and see what he prays for them to know. Remember where we are, the hope of glory. God wills it, God seals it, and now we're looking at number three. God's power is towards us. Verse 18, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his great might? So Paul prays so we may know three realities. The hope to which he has called us. We've looked at that a bit. The riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. And Ross read that in the scripture and we peeked at that a little bit. Look at verse 19 for the third one. Paul is praying that we know what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe. The power of God toward us who believe. The power of God toward us who believe. Paul prays for the eyes of their hearts to be enlightened to know the immeasurable greatness of the power of God toward us who believe. Please pray this for me. I pray it for you. I pray for you that you have the eyes of your hearts enlightened to know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance of the saints, and to know the immeasurable greatness of the power of God toward you. I pray that for you. Please pray that for me and for each other. Let's look at this power. Paul says this power is great. How great? Immeasurably great. He's saying it is such great power that you can't even measure how great it is. But he gives an example. Let's read the rest of this starting in verse 19. Remember, Paul prayed for them to have their eyes of their hearts open to know, verse 19, what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. God's immeasurable great power. How does one explain or even reveal the power of the living God? We're talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the creator of the universe. It's simply not possible to measure something that isn't measurable. Scholars put a fancy term on things like this, and they call them omnipotent. Like that covers it. I'm no scholar. But what we can do is what Paul did and look at God's work as we know it. It starts with the cross of Jesus, where the Son of God is spit on and beaten and humiliated, where the Son of God is nailed to the cross and killed, and he's buried in the ground dead. Not TV dead. 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 Defeat seemed to be reality. The people had won. Satan had prevailed. Our Lord, our Savior, is dead and in the ground. But God, according to the working of his great might, not only raised him from the dead, but he lifted him above everything else and seated him at his right hand. And at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every mouth will confess that he is Lord. Every knee and every mouth will confess that he is Lord. The one who was dead is now alive. At the cross, we see the love of God. In the resurrection, we see the power of God. And here is the hope of the power of God. When Jesus comes again, he will not come as a lamb to be slain. He will be coming as a lion to reign. And he will come in all of his glory and all of his power. And we will experience the reality of who we will become in him. And this will happen because it is the will of God. It is the guarantee of God. And it is in the power of God. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We need to live with an eternal perspective. And to do this, we need to know and believe our destiny is set and God is in control of it. Our hope is not a worldly hope, so. It is hope in God. God who wills us before the foundation of the world to be predestined in Christ, to be like him and with him forever. Hope in God who saved us at the cross and when we believed, cleansed us and sealed us with the Holy Spirit, guaranteeing our inheritance. Hope in God who has in his mighty power raised Jesus to his right hand and directs that power toward us who believe. This is not a hope so hope. This is reality in Christ. We need to know it and we need to believe it. I want to look at one more passage before we close. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8, page 944. I love this passage, Robin. This is actually one of my favorite passages. I come here often. Oh, I would encourage you to do the same. Watch for the hope, Romans chapter 8. Watch for the hope. It is in the control of God and the will of God and the power of God. Romans 8, 23 through 30. And not only creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons and the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. This is not something new. This is not some secret magic pill that Fred is coming up with. This is the Word of God. These are spiritually discerned truths, and to understand them, you need to be spiritually understanding them. If you have the Spirit of God in you, you will understand, you start understanding them. And they will make sense to you, and they will take a hold of you, and they will be renewing your minds and conforming you to the image of Christ. This is God's predestined plan for you. These words, these truths are the plan and will of God. They are the hope of being like him and with him forever. These words and truths are the reality of Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'm going to close by reading, starting back in 28, and then we'll pray. And this time, just watch for the power of God's love in Christ. The power of God's love toward you in Christ. Romans 8, 28 through 39. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he also called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for revealing truth to us. Father, I pray for each person here that knows you, that these truths, the reality that it is your will and your guarantee and your power that makes our hope real. And I pray, Father, as we meditate upon these truths and your Spirit is working in us, Lord, that this will bring a peace and a joy that we've never experienced before in you, Christ. And I pray that we put on this perspective in our lives, that we look through this perspective in everything that we're doing, the reality that no matter what's going on here at earth, in the end, we will be like you and with you forever. And Father, help us then have a burden for the lost. Father, may we bring as many as we can with us to be at your side and with you. And I pray for the Sanctity of Life rally even now, Lord, that's going to be happening at 1 o'clock. Father, what a sad thing it is that life is treated so callously. I pray, Father, that your Spirit would move across this nation and soften hearts, Lord. Change minds. More than anything, Father, I pray that your Spirit moves and gives people hope in Christ, that they see truth. I pray these things in Jesus' name.